Accession number 30279, Reel 2.
Mainly soft goods and women's apparel. So I found it quite interesting, quite frankly. Met a lot of people. And so now coming back to the Second World War.
Presumably the Second World War, or the thought of the Second World War, certainly troubles brewing in Europe,
yeah,
would sort of interrupt your life. Here you are, sort of trying to earn a bit of money for the family, and suddenly there's the possibility of a Second World War. Did you ever seriously consider that possibly you would go away and serve if a war should eventuate?
I did. So
why was there that thought that you had?
Sorry?
Why did you think that you would go away and fight a war for another country?
Well, I just felt that, you know, we were the British Empire, and we just had to, if we didn't sort of join up and make the numbers, not that I ever thought of defeat, but we had to, that old saying, we had to support the mother country.
All right, well, what was it like when you heard that war had been declared? Menzies announcing on the radio. Do you remember? Did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
Tell us about that period, that time.
Well, there was people coming from everywhere. I know showgrounds, the Clermont Showgrounds here, was the recruiting, and they'd be coming from the country and all rushing to sign up to go away, and you know it generates sort of an atmosphere that you've got to be in it. I was just trying to check. Just for a moment.
What was it like to know that war had been declared?
Because I didn't feel that we were being threatened, put it that way. We were Australia, we were millions of miles away. And but I think what I was really that I wanted to be in it.
Yeah. Well, that's your point of view. That's a young bloke wanting to get out and see the world. But what about the neighbourhood? What about the feeling in the local area? How did your mother take it? How did your father take it?
My father, well, just stepping ahead a little bit, I thought, no, I'm going to join up. See, what am I then, about 17? And, of course, you had to be 18. So I said, I went down the recruiting office and had a chat to him. I said, oh, no, you're too. You have to get your parents to sign this document. So I spoke to my father and he said, no way in the world, not quite like that. I think he told me to bugger off. So I thought, oh, well, I'll join the militia, which they were recruiting, obviously, also for the militia, because there's quite a number of people, and when I say people, men, that didn't really want to join the AIF, but they were quite happy to join the militia to protect Australia. So that was an opening for me. So what was it, 1939, that the Second World War broke out. So my father refused, but I joined the 25th Machine Gun Regiment.
Whereabouts were they based?
The drill hall was just locally, in a place called Bayswater, I think. And I used to have to catch the tram there, and you went to certain times during the week, mainly on the weekends, obviously, so the people were still working, and you'd go up then and you'd do drill and have some, get used to some army disciplines and what have you. And then then they went into a permanent camp. And strangely enough, they used the workers' hut at Canning Dam. So we did that. And then this went on for around about 1940 when I went into the 25th Machine Gun Regiment, and I was discharged in October 1941 to join the AIF. I'm still underage. I'm 17 then, and not with my parents' permission. So I carefully got my birth certificate, which I still have, and changed the 3 to 2. Even when I look at a day, I think I did that very adroitly. And so I fronted at the recruiting office, and I had my discharge from the 25th Machine Gun Regiment. And I had my birth certificate ready for a vice challenge and didn't even look at it. So I went into, I'm in the AIF then. And
what happened when your father found out you were in the AIF?
Yeah, underage. Well, I think he said, good on you. I think it was, he knew it was inevitable something would happen. And I was drafted to the 2nd 10th Armoured Regiment because the machine gun regiment was mechanised. I don't think of anything flash, because all they had was hired trucks. You know, equipment was unbelievably bad. Well, they didn't have any, quite frankly. But I learnt to drive in the while I was with the regiment, a truck, which I must admit stood me in good stead forever. And I went to the 2nd 10th Armoured Regiment, which was being formed here, but because there was virtually no equipment here for an armoured regiment, or in Australia, quite frankly, we were then, our squadron, I was in B squadron, we were shipped to Victoria, still a passenger liner called the Duntroon, and to Victoria, to a place called north of Melbourne called Pakapanyo. And that's where they were assembling other regiments. And they had Bren gun carriers, and that was the only tracked vehicle in Australia at that time, virtually. So we learned to drive, and me having a license, they said, you know, he's still virtually like a truck to drive, except it had tracks. So I became a Bren gun carrier driver.
What was it like to be in the AIF?
It was a jolt, because you had a sergeant major screaming at you, and you got discipline, And you're amongst numerous people, men of all ages. And as I said, I'm only 17, but there's plenty of chappies, you know, 25, 30. And so suddenly you're thrown amongst a mix of age groups, which quite frankly was, I guess, when I was looking back, it wasn't all that bad. You know, interesting characters, you know, they could be shop assistants, accountants, shearers, farmers, you know, could be anyone. So you've got a cross-section.
Yeah.
And so I must admit, life at Pakapanya was, in the winter time, was absolutely freezing. We were in these great big wooden huts, tin roof, off the ground, about 3 feet.
Presumably this is your first real time away from home.
It is, yeah, yeah. This is the first time. And
beginning to see a part of the world, certainly a part of Australia.
Yeah.
What was your impression?
Well, I must admit, it was the first time out of Western Australia, and you don't realise how big your own country is till you start to move around. And we had leave every now and then to Melbourne. Catch the train, because Pakapanya was, next to Seymour, was the principal little town there. It was about 60 miles north of Melbourne. So you go down the train, and of course Melbourne was huge as far as I was concerned. And that was quite an experience. And you have your leave, which wasn't all that long, you know, it might be about 3 days or something, and then you jump on the train and go back to Pakapanya.
Well, presumably, being in the army too, apart from it being a jolt, you were growing up, you were seeing a bit of a man's world that you probably weren't privy to in a quiet place like Hollywood.
Oh, of course, yes, and all the stories that you hear, sort of at the mess table and at night on your palliasse when you're bedding down and everyone's talking their heads off before they yell out, lights out, and switch everything off. So, yeah, a very interesting time. And I think, you grow up pretty quickly, put it that way.
You're training for a war. Was there ever any concern at this time that you might not come back?
Oh, no. No, you're not invincible, and you know that having my father's experience and my knowledge that it's not all, good fun and what have you. There's a dark side to it.
My impression is that it was almost worse fear that you would come back disabled in some way, without a leg, or in father's case, being gassed.
Mm.
Does that cross your mind at all as a young
man? No, not really. No, I don't think you think you're invincible or bulletproof. But I suppose that doesn't enter. Well, it didn't enter my mind, quite frankly.
What about being at the other end of a gun, where you're actually involved in shooting someone else? Did you ever think that, might not be prepared to die for king and country, but you might have to be prepared to kill for king and country?
Mm. Yes, yeah. I don't know whether, probably apart from the shooting side, because they still had bayonets in those days. And you'd have to rush at these dummies and stuff this bayonet through it, which to me it was a bit like going back to the Boer War or something. I wasn't very fussed about that, quite frankly. But so being in my my position as the Rengan carrier driver. I think I honed my skills on trying to do the best I could as a driver. And so we trained, I'm not too certain timing now, but they put us on parade one day and said, right, we're going to issue you with the overseas kit. We're off to the Middle East. And you get a small kit bag, which all your heavy gear goes elsewhere, and that's all you can take on board the troop ship, for obvious reasons, for space-wise. And so we all got very excited. We're going to the Middle East. It was wonderful. And we're being equipped by the British Army. And then the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. So immediately, Middle East had gone, and we're in Australia, and things really changed then as a threat to Australia.
Up until this time, things have been happening somewhere over there.
That's right.
Beyond the horizon.
Exactly.
I'm interested to know how things like the evacuation of Dunkirk affected young blokes like yourself.
Oh, they did, yes. They were very traumatic. And we all marvelled how the expeditionary force then was able to somehow get out of that unbelievable area, of Dunkirk, and between being strafed and hemmed in, and nothing between them, the beach and the English Channel. And I think everyone was impressed with the way it was all handled, and there was quite a majority of troops got back to the UK, back to England.
That whole experience showing presumably the might of the German forces, how did that make you feel, given what you were experiencing back home in comparison?
I don't think, looking back, that I ever doubt the fact that we'd win.
Having said the might of the German force, people will say, well, actually, they were able to turn tables on a force that was mightier than them. They blitzkrieged, literally, played England at its own game, and pushed them off the continent.
Yeah, they did. And the Germans really had a super war machine. And brilliant generals, officers and troops. And quite frankly, they were far superior. The Allies were really in a catch-up situation all the time. Fortunately, as we all know, the Battle of Britain and things like that, those actions gave us breathing space. And
what were your impressions of things like the Battle of Britain?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I just felt that they did an incredible job. Same as what was Churchill's utterance?
Never in the course of human conflict,
so much to so few, something like that. But, and the And just getting back to Australia now.
Well, how was Churchill seen? He was this chap that sort of took the English language to war and, sort of mobilised our country almost.
Oh, yeah, well, no. I think all Australians, well, speaking for myself, Churchill was a fantastic man. And there was a wonderful gift of English, which would stir anything. Stir the nation and stir the empire.
But had it ever thought to you, had it ever occurred to you that you might be on the losing side?
No, I didn't think we'd be ever on the losing side. I think because of our, this is just my impression, I just thought because of our isolation, they've got to get here and lay the Japs. And there is a...
Up until...
And just looking back at Dunkirk, we got out of there and got... And then the Germans had to get across that channel. And very similar here. The Japanese could get right down as far as they can. Then they got to get to Australia, which is a hell of a big place. And to defeat a country of our size, I thought, would be very difficult.
How had the Japanese been seen up until the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Seen as, I suppose, as people that made things that weren't all that good. Made in Japan. It was a bit of a catch cry. Oh, that's made in Japan. So it was an inferior product. It was made in England. Very good. But, didn't rate terribly highly, and quite frankly, I don't think many, including myself, knew anything about Japan.